This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Steve.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Very well, mate. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How is your day filled of doing press?
I always used to view it as somewhat of a necessary evil, but as my career is advancing, for lack of a better word, I'm becoming a lot more passionate for the jobs that I do. So it becomes easier when you like what you do.
I've spoken to a lot of actors, and they tell me that because they love the craft of acting, that they almost don't get paid to act, they get paid to promote.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of view even the acting process as I get paid to wait in between setups, and the acting I do free.
That's also, yeah.
And it's, anything extracurricular outside of that is, just in terms of a social life, I never really... That's not something that interests me, like going out there and promoting myself socially doesn't really intrigue me. I'd much rather have my work do it for me.
Oh, no, I completely understand. Well, I'm sorry to ask the most generic of the generics, but could you talk a little bit about how you originally got to the project?
Oh, sure, yeah. It was an offer that came through the desk of CAA, which is sort of my agency, and I read the script. It was pitched as a Western, and I'm a huge fan of that genre, and... It was a real cool sort of modern take on that Western genre, and it was a character who was sort of pitched as being the hero, but what I liked about it is that it sort of went against the iconic version of a hero. It wasn't sort of the Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, impenetrable force that you felt like no matter what posse was put up against them, they could always hold their own. He was a guy who was very... fallible, the first time you see him, he's forgotten his gun, and he has to sort of rise above the odds and survive the day and save the town, save his wife.
When you were reading the script, I watched the film recently, and I'll be honest, I didn't know much walking in, and I was actually really blown away by the film. I really thought it was great, and I'm just curious, as you were reading the script, and because obviously you knew nothing as you're reading the pages, was this one of those kind of scripts where you're turning the pages, forgetting about that maybe I'm going to do this, but actually just interested in the story?
I never forgot the fact that, I knew which character I was playing, so I definitely sort of invested myself in that character, but yes, to your other part of the question, I was able to kind of lose myself in the story. It's a very easy read, and it's as brutal as a film as it is, it's very easy to watch. It's a great popcorn film, but, I was pleasantly surprised, because I was really quick to make judgments without giving too much of the film away, like judgments at the beginning as to, the killer's madness or lack thereof. And then I was sort of happy to be proven wrong in the end. And I think that's sort of the general consensus of people that have seen the film. They're so quick to make these snap judgments of people at the beginning, and then they're sort of pleasantly surprised at the end. And Patrick's always talked about making a film that means something, that you don't just sort of forget at the moment the credits roll. And, this is a film that I hope means something to people.
Yeah, something that struck me about the film was the way that he captured basically like brutal violence, but didn't glorify it. But it's pretty harsh compared to some movies. The violence that goes on in the film. Was that something that sort of? How do you feel about like that kind of level of the realistic portrayal of the violence in the movie? Was it something that? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point you made. It's not there for shock value. It's there to create story, and that gives you a far more of a visceral response rather than like a the classic kind of horror film where sometimes it's just a loud sound that knocks you out of your seat. It's not necessarily pervading any further into your body than the outside. Whereas like every time someone gets killed in this, you're finding out another piece of the puzzle, and that is far more intriguing and engaging for an audience member.
When you're getting ready to do a Western, which is, an Australian-American Western, I don't know what the right terminology is, are there certain films that Patrick suggested that you watch beforehand, or were there certain films that you watched to sort of get you ready for this genre?
That was sort of a huge... something that Patrick and I both understood from the get-go, that we were huge Western genre fans. All the John Ford films, Sergio Leone, I had a huge sort of history of loving those films and watching them time and time again. You know, High Plains Drifter was always one of my favorite sort of Westerns. I mean, even sort of the more sort of commercially viable ones. I mean, you could even call Butch Cassidy and Sundance a good one. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, I'm just getting someone talking to me. And it was... yeah, it was really just sort of an ode to those, but as well as that, it was creating our own version of it and modernizing it and putting sort of, some critics have called it Australia's answer to No Country for Old Men. So it's nice to get sort of that, to adhere to the classic sort of mythology of the Western genre, but also to put a modern day spin on it where audiences are going to be intrigued enough to go in and see it.
You filmed on these amazing locations. Could you sort of talk a little bit about being on location, not really having to imagine via blue screen or being on some set, you know, this amazing backdrop, and how that informs your performance?
Yeah, look, I'm not a method actor, but this one was, in a bizarre sense, very much sort of method acting. I mean, we're shooting in sort of sub-zero temperatures on a very tight schedule, with none of the sort of the bells and whistles that even sort of a normal sized film would have, and that sort of worked to all of our advantage. You have to kind of come together as a crew and as a cast to sort of get through this experience, and that sort of you harness that kind of energy, and what you end up with is a film that was shot in small town Omeo and is now seeing the light of day. And you know, we had our Hollywood premiere yesterday, so for a film to get that far, you have to be working your butt off.
I definitely want to ask you, I really enjoyed Legend of the Guardians. You obviously have this project, you have a certain TV show on HBO. What's sort of like the last year been like for you, and how is it affecting what you want to do in the future?
The last year, in fact, probably the last sort of 2 years for me, has just been absolutely electrifying. I pinch myself more than a couple of times every day and just sort of think how effing lucky I am to be in this position. I've definitely had my fair share of setbacks and hard times, but they kind of only inspire me, I guess, more than the triumphs. You know, the amount of people that tell me I can't do something, that is going to get me more riled up than the people that tell me that you can make it happen. And you know, every sort of, I guess, rung I head up the ladder, I'm just sort of proving more people wrong, I guess. Without having a cross to bear, it's more just I have very high standards for myself and my career, and the show has afforded me many sort of opportunities. It has a nice level of class to it, and then beyond that, it has a legion of very loyal fans.
I definitely want to ask you, if you don't mind, you're in a movie called Knights of Badassdom.
I am.
Could you talk a little bit about who you play in that film and what it's about?
Yeah, I play a character called Joe, who's sort of... finds out at the beginning of the film that the love of his life has sort of been cheating on him, and his two roommates, played by Steve Zahn and Peter Dinklage, have... I'm getting the wrap-up, but I'll just finish this. Thank you. They pretty much kind of kidnap him, for lack of a better word, and throw him into this world of LARPing, which they're very much into, and I don't know if you know what LARPing is, but it's that live-action role-play, which they did sort of a little bit of in Role Models.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And then this LARPing game sort of turns very real, and sort of people start dying left and right. And again, my sort of character has to sort of find the cojones to stand up to this abominable force and try and save the day.
American or Australian accent?
North American, yeah. No, in fact, Red Hill was the first time I'd done Australian accent in 8 years, so... I'm so used to hearing the word action and jumping into a form of American accent.
I completely understand. Hey, listen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and congratulations on the movie.
Thank you so much, mate. Yeah, and excellent questions, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay.